Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where you talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. That's who we speak to. So the verse that we use out of the Bible is Proverbs 27:17. And that's as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so that's what this thing is all about. And I just want to be able to say there's just a little distraction going on in the studio here. So in the studio with me today is Dave. Good to have you, brother.
Hey, good. Thanks.
Hey. I know. I could tell you couldn't hear me, and I'm sitting here, I'm trying to mess with the buttons. I'm saying, wait a minute, that's not what it is. And producer comes in and pushes the button right there on the headphone.
Like, I'm supposed to be hearing something here. Yeah, nothing's going on.
Yeah. All right. So do you want me to start over so you can hear it all again?
No, that was perfect. Okay. Yes.
It's like you've never heard it before. Anyway, good to have you, brother. Hey, today's topic that we're going to kick into here momentarily is about submission to God. Yeah, now, there's a lot about submit and submission in the Bible, but we're going to stay primarily with our submission to God. As men, what does that look like? What keeps us from submitting? Why is it that we have such a hard time with it? You know, we're going to just talk about from our own experiences what the Bible says also and go from there. So that's what we're going to kick into momentarily. We always like to kind of kick it off with a little bit of encouragement to start.
And absolutely.
Do you have a little bit?
I do. I do.
Do you?
Yeah, and this is going to kind of kick in. This kind of goes together.
Okay.
So
let us be the judge of that.
Yeah. we'll do that. So I would say since early last month, the Lord has been working in my heart on just giving me some understanding of going through challenges.
Yes.
You know, just in everyday living.
Yes.
You know, I'm the first person to, you know, question, okay, am I living in sin if I face a challenge? What am I doing wrong? And and beat myself up. And a lot of us guys do that.
Yes.
You know, we're really hard on ourselves, and sometimes it's not anything we've done wrong.
Yes.
It's just that God is allowing us to go through some challenges. And, you know, these challenges were, you know, just things happening. You know, we had a windstorm, a piece of plywood got blown into one of our vehicles. And, you know, it's just, you kind of look at it, it's like, well, what's the purpose of all this stuff? You know, it's nothing I did. And, you know, it's just, you know, we live in a fallen world. And sometimes I tend to forget about that and that, you know, bad things are going to happen, you know, and they're, I don't know if the word natural consequences is the correct word, but you know, God sees it all. He understands that we're in a fallen world. So I came across a devotion by Charles Stanley, and it and he first talks about he gives scripture references of Matthew and Jesus walking across the water to the disciples.
Yes.
And prior to that, the disciples heading out on the boat, they had just finished feeding 5,000 people.
Right.
And Jesus instructed them, and he was adamant about them getting on the boat and heading across to the other side, and Jesus was going to meet them over there. So the disciples didn't do anything wrong. They were obeying Jesus. They were submitting, which we're going to talk about, to the Lord.
Right.
And so, you know, it wasn't a matter of, hey, you got to go over here and do this and all that. Jesus just said, meet me on the other side, and he was adamant. I did a little word study on it. And it's to where Jesus literally commanded them and pushed them, not physically pushed them, but forced them
yes.
to take the boat across. Because yes. he had to disperse the crowds because they, yes. at the time, he had done this huge miracle. And, you know, people were thinking, oh, geez, he could feed the armies. I mean,
yep.
all these things. And they wanted to, you know, crown him king. So the point is, you know, Jesus instructed the disciples to meet him on the other side. The storm comes up and, you know, Peter sees Jesus and calls out to him, you know, and they aren't even sure it's Jesus that's walking on the water.
Right.
And so
yeah, it scares them.
It scares them.
Yep.
And so Peter steps out and he's got his eyes on the Lord. And so, you know, none of this has to do with any kind of sin or the disciples doing anything or disobeying the Lord. It's just that God was working on their faith. And because there was things to come down the road, you know, with Jesus going to the cross where, you know, he was building their faith
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. the trust in him. So I have this devotion from Charles Stanley, and it says, storms are inevitable. In nature, powerful tempests leave a changed landscape behind them. Similarly, challenging circumstances can alter the direction of our life. When difficulties arise, do we say, Lord, I'm doing what you asked, so why is this happening? Such thinking assumes that being in the center of God's will exempts us from problems. In Matthew 14, we learn that Jesus instructed the disciples to get in the boat and go ahead of him to the opposite shore. While they were there obeying him, high winds and waves developed. And the truth is, storms can arise when we are exactly where God wants us to be.
Yes.
Another question we ask is, Father, what have I done wrong? Many of us automatically assume that we are the large part of the problem. God does use trials to correct us, but not all situations come from our mistakes.
Yes.
He may allow troubles to perfect us, that is, to mature us and grow us into Christlikeness. That was the case with the disciples. Jesus knew what lay ahead of them, and he desired to make them fit for the work he was calling them to do.
Yes.
The lashing winds created an environment conducive to learning key lessons for future ministry. God uses different ways to train and equip us because he wants us to become strong, vital servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Realize that nothing can happen to a child of God unless he allows it.
Yes.
Instead of keeping our heads bent low against the struggles of life, let's look up to the Lord and seek his purposes in our challenges. So that happened a month ago, and it's like, oh, man, I can't wait to share this because, like all men, you know, mm-hmm. that I mean, myself and I know a lot of other men,
mm-hmm.
you know, we sometimes miss the point of what's happening in our life, and God is working in our hearts
yes.
to make us more into his image and likeness.
Yes.
You know, and then we can share these things and encourage others.
Well, you know. And this is, as you had said earlier before you started this, is that it leads right into what we're talking about, because one of the things, and we're just going to segue right into this thing, and good encouragement in a sense, but part of that submission is that word scares men.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, I don't want to submit to anybody. I want to, I need to protect and to provide and you know, I may be the only one that thinks I'm an alpha dog, but I'm an alpha dog. I'm going to take care of not only me, but me.
Yes.
And in my family, and all those things that belong to me, because they all belong to me. Well, anyway, so there's a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to men and how and why we feel the way that we feel.
That's right.
Things, right?
Yes.
So in this thing on submission to God, you know, first off, knowing what to submit mean. Now, a lot of guys are probably listening to the show, but they probably thought, oh, I want to hear what this has to say about my wife submitting to me. We're not going to talk about that because you're not going to like what we're going to have to say about it, because you're going to say, hey, she's supposed to submit to me. Well, you know, that's right. But to submit to a man is actually submitting to God.
So you better be like God.
So let's talk about you got to be more like God. So we're going to have to talk about that right now. So, but I wanted to just bring up a couple of things. One is, What does submit mean? The Latin root word means to let down, reduce, or yield, which means, I mean, you think about it, to let down, okay, yep. Just reduce, make smaller, right? Or yield, to step back. You know, everyone hates that yield sign. You think that's still a go sign for you on the road, right?
Right.
It means for you to just be cautious, take a look. If there's somebody coming faster, they don't see you, they have the right of way.
Yes.
That means they have the right of way. So you back down and have to put on your brakes, right? We don't like that.
It's hard to do.
It is a difficult challenge to do, okay? So the word submission, that usually is a secondary to submit, okay? The New Testament Greek word is called hupotasso, is how, I don't know if that's the way it's pronounced, which means to put under or arrange under, okay? And it is a military word that refers to lower-ranking soldiers arranging themselves under the orders of a higher officer. Submission then comes from an acknowledgement of proper order and authority. So, you know, when, now that puts it in a little perspective when there's a little understanding, at least for me, that for me to submit or and get into that place of submission to God, you know, I'm really going to have to say that, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, or I don't know how to do this, or I don't know if I have the right to do this.
Yep.
So I need to ask for permission in a sense, right? So some of you guys have been our veterans. You know what it's like to be in boot camp. You know that you cannot do certain things without being within a parameter of authority, or not authority, but of what has been okayed for you to be able to do. I remember there was a time that you're supposed to be, as soon as you get up, you have to make up your rack, your bed, right? You have to put it all together and put it a certain way. If you didn't, you were going to receive the consequences that you talked about, right? And when there's a time for you to read letters and the lights go out at a certain time, that's it. And if you continue to try to read or write a letter in the, you know, with a flashlight or something, you're going to get a consequence that you're going to have to deal with, okay? Because the authorities say, no, that's not what we want you to do.
Yeah.
This is what we want you to do. So submission to God is almost like we say, well, I think God gave us freedom. Didn't he give us free will to be able to do what we want and to be able to, you know,
He did, but there's, you know, his way and then there's our way, you know, and that's where, you know, yielding to him, you know, is a change of our mindset.
Yes.
And I think someone spoke it last night in the men's group, you know, of submitting to God on a moment by moment basis.
Yes. Yes.
And it's so easy to start the day, mm-hmm. and you can submit to God at one moment and then carry on the rest of the day and not submit to him.
Well, thinking that that is enough.
Yes.
Right? That's kind of, in a sense, now I'll put this in a from my own experience, of accepting Jesus as my Savior and Lord, right? It's saying, hey, I want to be a disciple. I want to follow him, you know? I want him to save me because my life is just, it's in the pit. You know, and I'm about ready to drown. I don't want to die yet. I don't, you know, I don't need to go down this path. And we get to that place where all of a sudden we hear the hope of Jesus Christ, right?
Yes.
And as a result of that, we are attracted to it and say, yes, I'm willing to do that. And so everything's right. The words are right that the preacher is saying or the minister, whoever it may be at that time. And the music's right. My heart is right. I'm ready to just surrender it all. Mm-hmm. Submit completely.
Yep.
Okay? Because I want to be saved. So he saves me. And I get this encouragement from everybody afterwards. Yeah, I said, I'm sorry for my sins and all of this. And, you know, did ask and turn away in my head from wanting to be that. All the things, that's that very first love, right, that we had of knowing that, okay, I'm now a new creation. How do you feel? I remember being asked, how do you feel? Oh, I don't know, but it feels good.
Right.
You know, and it just feels good. And it's kind of like, all right. And immediately, it does not take very long before we realize it, as a new follower of Christ for me, that all of a sudden I start thinking, oh, now what? Now what do I do? You know, I go back to my life, you know, and all of a sudden, but I try not to do, you know, it's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
All right. Because I don't want to mess up. I don't think. Or maybe he's just going to be there. He's going to make sure that I don't sin. He's going to take all the temptations away.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen, you know, because I didn't hear whatever anyone else. I only heard what I wanted to hear, right?
Yeah.
You can have a new life. Everything's going to be forgiven, right? And now you can just go and I'm thinking, oh, man, clean slate. Let's go.
That's right.
I'll do just a little bit of sin. It didn't take very long before our mind goes there because we want to run our own lives.
Yes.
Okay, but I forgot about that part when they said about making him my Lord.
Okay? Yes.
There's something about having a Savior. I talk about it all the time because that's where I was at. And I know that I'm not alone in this. I want to be saved, and I want to be grateful for the saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Now, you want me to do what? Well, maybe next week.
Yeah.
Or maybe when I turn 30. Or maybe when I retire. Or whatever. That's when I'll start doing that.
How does that work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a mindset that we have because we're geared that way to run the show.
Yes.
In a sense, right?
Oh, yeah. And we want to be Lord of our own life. You know, I mean, that's just.
And even though we just submitted and said, hey, I don't want to go this direction. Or, you know, I don't want to do this any longer. But I wanted to use the Lord as the example was given to me, that I just wanted to use him like a fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
I got all the fires going on around me and everything. Oh, look, there's the fire extinguisher on the wall. Just break the glass, grab the fire extinguisher, pull the plug
the
pin, and all of a sudden just put out the fire.
And it's all done.
Thank you, Jesus. You got the fire done. So I put the fire extinguisher back up. Yeah, it looks still green, so there's still more in there. I can use it again.
Yeah.
I'll put it back on the shelf
when
I need you
those.
Again next time, right?
Yep.
And every time I use, from the very first time I heard that scenario, it didn't come from me. I heard it from someone else that shared it in a Christian surrounding, right, using Jesus that way. And everybody, all the guys were going, yeah, that's so true. That's exactly what I did, you know, for those that were willing to admit it. And I knew that's exactly what I was doing. I was using Jesus like a fire, only when I was in trouble. When I make him my Lord, when I submit to him, when I yield to him, when I reduce myself to him, when I seek him, knowing that, hey, he's the one that's going to be able to help me get to this place, that my life doesn't go back to the way it was, then all of a sudden things are different, okay? There's a different mindset.
Yes.
But it's very, you know, sometimes for me, I just know this, so I had to have enough pain to get me to that place of total submission.
Yes.
Because I was not the one that was of the intellect of just hearing it and saying, okay, I think I'll go that route. That sounds reasonable.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, submitting our thoughts to the Lord and, you know, taking everything captive. You know, so many things would come to Christ and I've been prone to this thinking, okay, I know the creator of the universe. I'm going to be exempt from any troubles.
Yes.
And I can just go about doing my stuff. But like you're saying, it's the, you know, going through these challenges that refine a person and pushes you towards God.
Right.
And I believe he allows us to do that. So we will submit,
right,
you know, in our heart, in our mind,
right,
to stay before him, to keep our heart, you know, kneeled down and, you know, praying to him.
Yes.
Because it's when we turn and go in a different direction. And you were saying this in the men's group last night, you know, about, you know, being together with the body of Christ, you know, after two or three times, then you're reluctant to, you know, go back, you know, 4 weeks later.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, if you do that with God and you kind of start going and doing your own thing and just, oh, I can deal with this later.
Yeah.
Then you find yourself in the pit,
yep,
and you're, you know, like you're saying, you're breaking out the fire extinguisher, you're asking God, pull me out of here.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, we have to continually, you know, be in submission to the Lord.
Or even more is that I end up blaming God for what's going on in my life.
Yes.
Hey, I surrendered to you. I called you, you're my Savior, you know. Now I'm blaming him for what's going on. And that's where. Well, anyway, let's do this. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's talk about some of the things that we're supposed to emulate as a follower of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be more like Jesus. Did he submit? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and it's made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
Rise up and honor you. I'll testify to the good you do. 'Cause your grace and your mercy have overtaken me. So even if it gets me convicted, I'll be on my knees with my hands lifted. If serving you's against the law,
welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. I've got, that cut me right off there, producer. Can you just kind of tone that down just a little bit when you do that so it sounds a little better? Anyway, she's over there nodding her head. I can't believe you're saying that. Anyway, so we're talking about submitting to God. And we talked about, before we went to the break, about Jesus. We're to emulate him. We're to be Christ-like. I mean, the Bible talks about so often that we are to be like him. Jesus says, be holy because I am holy. And another part of the Bible, he says, be perfect because I am perfect. So we're to strive for holiness. We're to strive for perfection. Will we reach that? Maybe not. Probably not. But the point is that needs to be our goal, right? If we don't have something that's a high
standard,
okay, we're going to lower our standard, and then we're going to be back where we were at before.
Yeah.
Okay.
It comes down to making choices.
Exactly.
Yeah, and submitting to God's principles and ways. And,
yes.
And what he calls us to do.
Yes.
You know, it listening to what you're saying there, you know, we have the choice. You know, let's say you've been addicted to drugs before.
Yes.
You know, do you want to go back to that, or do you know that this isn't a good path for me, and so, you know, what am I going to submit to?
Yes.
Am I going to submit to that fleshly desire, or submit to, you know, God's kingdom and the spirit that he gave that lives within us? You know, I mean, it's doesn't take much at the break you were talking about, you know, the things that, you know, we do over and over and over, and the outcome is still the same.
Yes. Yeah, that's insanity, right?
Insanity, yeah. And, you know, and it's not necessarily, you know, an addiction that this happens to, but it can be mindsets of, you know, the Lord's trying to teach us a lesson and to change our character and what our thought process is on certain things. And we have to go through it over and over again. And one of them is trusting him. You know, are we going to trust the Lord in our finances? Are we going to trust him in our relationships? And are we being fearful? You know, there's just a whole bunch of different areas of submitting to the Lord and what his word says and how he encourages us. We're talking about submitting, and I'm going to kind of segue here. You know, Jesus submitted to the Father in everything that he did.
Yes.
And he submitted to the will of the Father. Shared the story earlier about Jesus sending the disciples across the lake. Well, what Jesus did following after he was worked his way out of the crowd is he went up on the mountain, and I don't know exactly what mountain that was, and he went into prayer.
Yes.
And that's what he did before he even went out to see the boys out on the lake.
Yep.
You know, he went into prayer and submitted himself to the Lord. He knew the distress of the people. He knew everything that was going on. And there's so many accounts of Jesus submitting himself to the Father and to doing his will and his work.
And a part of that is, well, you'll find it throughout the scripture, but in the New Testament, in the book of John, in John chapter 5, verse 30, it says, I can do nothing on my own. This is Jesus speaking. I can do nothing on my own, he says. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
Yes.
Okay. So that is just one of many of the scripture that Jesus uses to let us know that he's submitting to God the Father.
Yep.
Okay. You know, for him, even when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he was went down to his knees in praying and asking, I mean, he is sweating blood, okay? And he asked that this cup be passed, that he would have this. His humanness, okay? He says, I want this. I don't want to go through this.
Yes.
For a moment in time. Then in a splecking, you know, he realized that it was, but your will be done.
Yes.
Okay? So he knew that he was going to be separated from the Father, that he was going to endure this pain, physical pain, okay? And it was, and the emotional and spiritual pain of the separation from the Father was going to be there. He knew that was coming.
Yes.
So as a result of that, if we're to emulate Christ, he wants us to be more like him, so we need to be doing the same thing. So God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit all are God, okay, all one, the triune God, all right, that we end up submitting to in our lives today, okay? Does that make it easy? No. It wasn't easy for Jesus either. He had challenges. He showed it right there in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes.
Okay? But he reminds us throughout the New Testament, his time on this earth, that it was submitting to God, submitting to do his will.
That's right. Yeah. Okay? And he even went through the temptation, you know, right after being baptized. He, you know, was out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He experienced that temptation, you know, that Satan came to offer him, and Satan presented him several different scenarios.
Oh yeah, hey, and, you can have all of this if you know.
Yeah, and Jesus submitted to the Father, and he did that in his heart, and his actions, in his mind. He was perfect and sinless, and you know, Jesus is calling us to, you know, submit our hearts. We don't have to make a blood sacrifice like he did. That's not what he's asking us to do. But the obedience of submitting to him is, one, it brings you peace.
Yes.
And, you know, following the Lord brings you peace. You don't have to, you know, it's like the example of, you know, lying.
Yeah.
You know, when
I don't lie, though.
So, yeah. You know, you don't have any peace there. You know, there's no, because, and then what happens is you forget what you said, you know? So it's kind of, you know, and it, usually those things will circle back and it's like, okay, well, you know, you're not submitting to God at that moment.
Yes.
You know, by being honest and being truthful.
Yes.
And, you know, and we know God doesn't like lies and liars and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's that you're not submitting at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it circles back to you and you're like, oh boy, you know, what did I say?
Yes.
You know, and you're trying to recall. And if you just tell the truth the first time and submit to telling the truth, you know, you don't have anything to worry about.
Yes.
You know, Jesus said it clearly. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. It saves you from a lot of trouble.
Yes.
You know?
But sometimes we don't get what we want when we say yes or no.
That's true, yeah.
Time, you know? So that ends up being even more of a challenge. So one of the things that I find that with knowing, okay, yes, I can see where Jesus submitted to God. But as, in today's world, I mean, we have to, let's look at it this way. I mean, we all know the world we live in. We know all the fears that come with it.
Yeah.
I mean, fears of just, you know, my relationships that I have here at home or, you know, in my life, okay? I have work fears, okay? If you're working or not working, you have fears. You have all those fears that are going on. You have the fear of the world. I'm not going to have enough money to be able to survive or make the payments for next month to be able to have what I have or to get what I want to get to be able to survive. You have fears of the fact that, okay, who's going to be the next president of the United States and what's going to happen to me as a result of who jumps in there and all this stuff. Then you have the fear of the what could take place with the terrorist groups and that sort of thing. Wherever you travel, gosh, I don't want to go to that big thing because that could be a place where somebody will come and do. Anyway, there's so many fears because we need to remember that we live in the world that is ruled by the enemy.
Yes.
The Lord gave him the authority to be able to rule the world.
Yeah.
Okay? And as a result of that, we have not only our own fears and our own things that we come up with ourselves, but we have the things that he throws at us too.
Yeah.
To get us to be able to sit back, maybe not take any action, or to seek another way. Try to get your comfort quickly before the world ends because you won't have it because there's nothing going on after you die, you know, type of situation.
Yeah.
And I know many men who've thought that same thought.
Oh, yes.
Get everything you can right now and enjoy it as much as possible because when you're dead, it's all gone. There's nothing. Okay. That's not what we believe here.
Yeah.
Just to give you a little heads up. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. And we're going to talk about some of the things that we can do in that maybe Dave and I have done ourselves to be able to submit. We know what the Bible says, and we may throw some of that out, but we'll give you some ideas on how to be able to overcome some of these thoughts that said, I can't do this. Okay,
yes.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flight case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments Anniversary Event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Strong and mighty fortress.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Dave and Raul in the studio, and we're in our final moments here of the show. And, you know, James 4:7 says this, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, period. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you, okay? So we used to always say here, at least I did, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, that never worked. Well, there's a reason why it didn't work. Because I never remembered the first part of the verse.
Submit to God.
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Okay? So in doing so, that's where the power comes in. It's not our power. It's him.
Yes.
Okay? And he will actually give us ears to hear what he wants, to feel the promptings that he puts on our heart, to be able to resist the devil. Okay? And to flee. And to watch him flee away from us. All of a sudden, hey, look, I don't have that temptation right this moment. I don't have that desire to go into that sin, whatever, okay?
Yes.
And all the glory goes to God as a result of it. And that's, you know, that's one of the key things I think is so, so important to this. But in real life, submission, sometimes, you know, what does that look like? I'm in the middle of, of a store, and all of a sudden I get a temptation, and all of a sudden it's like, oh.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing right before you said that. Okay. It's like, how does that, you know, how does submitting to God look like?
So what does it look like in your life when something like that takes place?
Submitting to God is not just something you do at the very moment. It's an action that takes place over a period of time.
Yes.
It's a changing of your lifestyle. And just some of the practices we do, mm-hmm. you know, submitting all of everything to the Lord, you know, so, you know, because sometimes, and I can picture myself and others thinking, okay, what's the action? How do I, you know, it's kind of like you hit a blinker to go right.
Right.
Well, submitting to God isn't just hitting the blinker.
Yes.
You know, it's a constant drive.
Yes.
And keeping your eyes focused on the road. You know, hitting the blinker is just a little, you know, just a momentary thing. But
that's a great example, because really think about the very first time you got behind a wheel when you were as a learner's permit, right? Everything was kind of new. Now, I'm talking about maybe not even the learner's permit, when somebody or maybe you got behind a wheel with your dad not knowing, your mom not knowing about it and stuff. But to actually drive, you knew that there were certain things. If you learned – I learned on a do not with a clutch.
Yes.
Okay. How to drive. There was a certain way of being able to do this so the car didn't stall and you didn't screel out and maybe hit the fence or the dog or what someone else.
Yes.
And all this sort of thing. There was a certain process that you had to continue practicing. Okay. And don't forget your blinker, and you put your blinker on. Like you said, this is what got me thinking. So my point being is, the more often that we practice submitting to God, the more that it becomes automatic when something takes place.
Yes.
So I have to be intentional.
Yeah.
I have to be intentional.
And one of the things that I do to submit to God is to keep a prayer journal. You know, that reminds me, and I can go back and look at what God has done.
Okay.
You know, and that's a tool that God has given us to recall, you know, the things that he's done. Mm-hmm. If you have a daily prayer journal that you can write in. I mean, you're submitting to the Lord what his testimony is in and through you.
Yes.
And you're able to recall that. And, you know, submitting to him is getting into his word.
Yes.
And learning more about him and what the truths are.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're reminded every day of our present problems, of what faces us. And so our immediate need is, God, how are you going to get us out of this? Or how are you going to do this and that? And, you know, just a simple tool of doing a journal of, you know, and praying over things.
But you're an unusual guy.
No,
I'm going to say, when it comes to journaling, I mean, a lot of guys just don't like to journal. And it's very tough to do that sort of thing. And I'm not dissing it. I'm saying you're absolutely right. It does work. Because it keeps us focused on Jesus,
yes,
on the Lord, and that our communication with him. Because really what it comes down to is that we're created to be in his presence for eternity.
That's right.
Okay? And as a result of that, that's what he wants us to do, is to acknowledge him today in everything that we do. And in journaling, boy, there's a big part of it where all of a sudden, where I'm writing about this, now I'm thinking about what it is I'm doing. What am I going to write in there later?
I don't want you to think that, you know, this is like an everyday, you know, thing, because sometimes I'll forget to go back and look, you know, where's my prayer list, you know, because I've had one going for like 7 years, but, you know, I may do a prayer list like every 3 months and I'll pray over that, but I can go back and recall.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's, you know, there's times where I need to look at it more than other times.
Okay.
You know, when I start losing the focus of the Lord, and all of a sudden, you know, the storm is, you know, really dark and everything.
Right.
I need to, you know, it's just one way of submitting to the Lord and recalling
So
his promises.
In application, well, let's go back to the scenario that I was using before about being in a department store or whatever, and all of a sudden you're near the women's section, and your eyes start to wander a little bit, and you know, you see certain pieces of clothing, you start thinking certain things, and I don't know about other guys, but I'm really uncomfortable in the women's section when my wife goes, you need to go, and I need to stay clear of looking at the pictures that they show, how the bras bras fit and the panties fit and all that sort of thing and stay clear of that sort of thing. But that's just what I need to do, because being in that surroundings and sitting there will actually keep the mind, unless I'm looking at my phone and trying to look at emails or texting or calling somebody or whatever else, all of a sudden my mind starts to wander.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So these are the things that we know ourselves, okay? We know ourselves. God's given us a brain to use, okay? And when we go through certain experiences, all of a sudden it's like, hey, remember the last time you were here? Now, if I end up deciding I want to stay in there, I ask my wife, hey, you want me to take you to the store so I can sit in the at the, you know, the chair there in the women's section while you're, you know, in the bra section? That you need some new panties and stuff like that, whatever it is, you know? No, then there's something wrong in my life, okay? I'm trying to get away with something. But when we're submitting to God, when we're trying to be a new creation that we are each and every day, one of the things that I do that in application on a daily basis, and I've done it, it wasn't because it was not something that somebody had given to me, a mentor had told me, said that what I want you to do, Raul, and he knew me because I let him see who I was, and I wanted to be different. And he says to me, he says, your pride and ego are going to take you down. That is your worst thing. So when the things I share with you are going to be things that you're not going to want to do, but I believe would benefit you if you did. And one of the things he told me, he says, when you get up out of bed, when your eyes open up, the first thought of your, oh, what's the day? As soon as your eyes open up, you slide out of bed, go right to your knees. Submit to God.
Yep.
And thank him for the day that he's given you.
Yes.
And ask him what his will be done. Now, this guy went on and on, and I won't make a big story about it, but he told me that many years ago. You know what, brother? I used that to stay clean and sober.
Yeah.
Okay? Of gratitude of being and knowing what I needed to do. And I've applied that into my life with Jesus today in everything that I do. I no longer have the chain has been broken where this of needing to have alcohol or drugs to be able to run to escape from life.
Yeah.
Now what I do is I run to Jesus, but I submit to him.
That's right.
By going to my knees. Now some guys say, hey, well, I don't have to get on my knees to submit to God. You're right. You don't have to do that. I do. And that's what's worked.
Yep.
And as a result of that, that's what I'm going to continue to do. And I've been doing it every day since then, no matter where I'm at. My wife knows. She knows that if I get out of bed early or whatever, that, you know, sometimes she's tripped over me sometimes when it was dark and she's, you know, my feet are behind me, right?
Yep.
As I'm on my knees and, oh, I didn't know you were up. So anyway, my point being, you got to be intentional, be willing to do whatever is necessary.
That's right.
And I don't just do it just at that moment in time. This is not a boasting for Raul. I'm just sharing with you. I take it throughout the day. And I try to be in gratitude in everything that takes place. I walk in and go get a cup of coffee that my wife has made. I said, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to have the provision to purchase the coffee and a loving wife who's willing to make it for me.
Yeah.
That I could taste hot coffee that brings warmth to my body and helps me to be awakened into this day.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, there are so many things throughout our day that we can give thanks to the Lord for.
That's right.
Because when we're in his presence, when we're actually thanking him, you're in his presence. And he loves that. And you know what? He's going to benefit because we're going to be in more communication, in tighter communication.
Yes.
We're going to feel the promptings and the things that will actually take place in my life that I can journal and write down and say, this is what took place as a result of my prayer or my submission to the Lord.
Yes, okay? That's right. Yeah.
So.
No, that's great stuff.
But these are things that I don't want to do that. I mean, every part of me in the flesh is saying, no, you don't have to do that. You start next week. Or just do it when you're on vacation. No. See, that's all lies from the enemy.
Yeah.
You got to remember, we're in a battle.
Yes. Well, when you mentioned the battle, you know, I was a Christian for 20-some years and smoked off and on. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew cigarette smoking was not good for me, not only spiritually, but it wasn't good for me health, you know, health-wise.
Yeah.
You know, but so what did I do? You know, I would go back and forth over, you know, so many years till I couldn't handle it anymore. And, you know, and it comes, you know, really, it comes down to submitting to God. Yes, I was addicted to it, but, you know, I had some control over it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I used to have a cigarette every hour, you know, and I mean, it was relaxing. And, you know, for several years after quitting smoking, it was like, oh, man, I just loved smoking.
You know, there's some guy listening to you right now lighting one up saying, oh,
probably,
yeah, that's right.
You know, but hey, God can set us free of it, you know, but, you know, it's changing, you know, for me on the cigarettes, it was, you know, getting sick, getting an extremely bad cold, and I couldn't handle it mentally, you know, the smoking. And, you know, after getting this extreme cold, I think within 6 months, you know, I'd completely been, you know, free of cigarettes. But it took a while to get over the habits, reaching into your pocket, you know. Yeah. And, I mean, it used to be a routine. I would get up at 5 in the morning, walk outside and have a smoke, you know, right away. That was the first thing I did, you know. I mean, it was not good.
Yes.
But, you know, at the same time, I was sitting there and always praying, always mindful of God, but I was not submitting that habit. You know, the same thing happens, you know, on the internet.
Yes.
You know.
Well, here's something I just want to end with.
Yeah.
In 1 Peter 5:5, good verse to be able to learn. But the last part of it says, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if we humbly submit to Him, He will give us everything that we need to be able to deal with whatever is in front of us.
Amen.
Okay? So if I'm prideful, boy, I need to know one thing is that I'm going to be on my own.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's submit to God. Good topic, man.
Yeah,
I'm glad that
absolutely.
We brought up to us. So.
Yes.
All right. Dan, thanks for the topic. And how about you pray for
us? Okay, sounds great. Well, Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for your word and what you've given us, God, to lead us and guide us. We pray for all of our listeners, Lord, that you would speak into their hearts and work with them today. And we thank you, God, and we ask these things in Jesus' name.